Theory on Fight the Empire, Per Fagering welcomes author and analyst Stephen Gowans with his new book, Patriots, Traitors, and Empires, the story of Korea's struggle for freedom. Now, all of this programming is possible because of your support of KBOO. If you'd like to become a member, right now is the time to do it. Make history on our last day of the fund drive by calling 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-KBOO. 5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Grand Central Bakery, located at 2230 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Grand Central Bakery is an American bakery chain with locations in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, and their metropolitan areas, providing breads, pastries, sandwiches, and soups from local ingredients. Lunch was provided by Huber's Restaurant, located at 411 Southwest 3rd Avenue. Huber's Cafe offers dining and takeout to Portland. More information at ubers.com. Dinner was provided by Shut Up and Eat, located at 3848 Southeast Gladstone Street in Portland. They offer fresh biscuits and English muffins they bake in-house daily, as well as sandwiches, hoagies, and grinders. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Join us Sunday, May 6th at 9:30 a.m. at the Oregon Historical Society for KBOO's Pickin' Appreciation Party, a bluegrass benefit. This private event will feature music from the Truvine hosts playing bluegrass, as well as other musicians, as well as breakfast, and a chance to win prizes donated by Artichoke Music, the Northwest String Summit, Dave Elliott's Capos, and more. Full event information and tickets are available at 50yearsofkboo.fm.
And this is KBOO's Spring Membership Drive. We're about to go to Teresa Mitchell, and we want to thank everyone who donated during the last hour to Native Voices from the Edge. We did make the match, so thank you, everyone. And next up, we have Teresa and many, many more great prizes to come for KBOO listeners to support this community effort. Join us in this effort to preserve our regional history, include community radio in U.S. history. I want to thank Eileen, who is from Southwest Portland, who gave online at kboo.fm, and Darren from Southwest Portland, who gave online, and another anonymous donor who gave online. Now, if you are having trouble getting through on our website, know that our website is under a denial of service attack from forces who do not want you to have this news and information. If you're having trouble, go to the Facebook page, the KBOO Facebook page, KBOO Radio. You can link directly to the donate form there. Also, it's on our Twitter. If you go to KBOO's Twitter, it will go directly to our donate. You can find the link there and the KBOO app. So you can download the KBOO app if you don't have it already and donate that way. Easiest way, of course, right now is to call 877-500-5266. Now is the time to do it. You may have been listening for some time. You've heard us. Thought, yeah, I really should give something back to KBOO. Well, now is the time to do it. This is the Festival of the Last Minute here. This is the last day of our drive. We want to thank Jeff, a new member from Northeast Portland, and William, renewing from Northeast Portland, both called in 877-500-5266. We're really building the momentum to this last $20,000 that we're trying to raise today. 877-500-5266.
Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left-opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, the headlines today, the president is denying that his secret hush money during the campaign violates the law because he seems to think that what he says defines reality. But we're not going with the headlines right now. We're going with the underlines. We're going with the overwhelming crisis of debt in the country. And to that effect, today I am joined on the line by Nicholas Hartlip, Dr. Nicholas Hartlip. And I am also joined in the studio by David E. Delk and Reverend Sandra Decker. Good morning to y'all.
Good morning. Good morning.
Glad to be here.
And Reverend Decker knows all about strike debt and is part of it. And David E. Delk knows all about community banking and is going to tell us about that. And so let's just check and see if we have our on-phone guest. Maybe not quite yet, so we'll get to that in just a moment. And before we get started, I want to tell you that this is it. This is the drive's going to shut down in less than 11 hours now. We are out of time. We have been under cyber attack constantly. Frankly, that is the news you're not supposed to know, and it has affected our ability to raise funds. If you have difficulty getting to the website, it's because we're being hacked. If you get on, it's because we put it back up constantly. This is going on. I repeat, KBOO is under attack. So if you want to metaphorically punch a Nazi, how about joining KBOO right now at 877-500-5266? And as I said, I'm here to talk about strike debt. And fortunately for everyone, a new book has been written. It's called The Neoliberal Agenda and the Student Debt Crisis. And of course, this is neoliberal in the sense of laissez-faire capitalism. And I have the author of that book on the phone right now, Dr. Nicholas Hartlip. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I understand people are being arrested for failure to pay their student loans. I assume this is being applied in the usual Jim Crow disproportion, 1,500 people in Houston. How is this countenanced? What's going on?
Well, so that you're referring to the introduction of the book where Alan Kalinge, who is a well-known activist in student loan debt issues, writes about a situation of someone who supposedly didn't pay his monthly student loan debt. One thing that I'd like to say for people listening is we open the book and we talk about a situation of a suicide that people, human beings, brothers and sisters, they're actually committing suicide because of the amount of stress, financial, psychological that comes with. A student, actually, I wrote part of the book when I was at Illinois State University, and a student with $100,000 of student loan debt committed suicide. So this is a serious problem. You know, and what neoliberal supporters like to say is, well, you know, those are just stories. Those are random, and they're unfortunate, but they're not really the majority of cases. And whether that's true or not, I think is moot. I think the point that we need to be talking about is humanity, you know, and the fact that we're in a situation where attending college is unaffordable and leads to people having to take out literally mortgages to fund their education. Education should be free. It's a human right.
I couldn't agree more. And I'm one of those people. My student debt ballooned to 650%. I paid it off with a mortgage. Then I got rid of the mortgage. Maybe we'll have time to talk about that. But the point that I want to make, and one of the reasons I'm so fired up about strike debt, is really there is no reason to feel guilt over debt in this economy, as you say, under the neoliberal regime. There's no morality to it, and it's worse than you might think. And so rather than have depressing and suicidal thoughts, please arm yourself with information. And to that effect, I'm glad to talk to Reverend Sandra Decker, part of Strike Debt, and I'd like to know, Reverend Decker, what's been going on in Oakland with strike debt?
Well, I moved up here a year ago from the Bay Area, and I worked with Strike Debt Bay Area for 3 years. 5 or 6 years ago, they took on public banking, and we printed shirts that said Oregon Public Bank. And now Oakland decided to spend $100 on a feasibility study. They worked with the city council and got that going. And Berkeley said, hey, we want in. We're going to pay $25,000 of that. So those two cities are on the way to having a public bank. I also went to three debtors assemblies down there, and it really transformed my life. I'm debt-free now, but for some reason I carried around a credit card and paid interest like, you know, I was supposed to do that, write a check every month and pay lots of interest. And a debtors assembly can lift guilt and can give new information and freedom towards the debtors. We have a debtors assembly in Portland this Saturday. Doors open at 9:30 at the First Unitarian Church. That's at Southwest 12th and Salmon. We have remarkable speakers. You just heard Dr. Hartlip. He will be here. You will get to meet him. His book is remarkable, and he will be speaking, and then he'll be leading one of the small groups after lunch. We also have David Delk, you know, from Portland, and Ellen Brown coming up from L.A. to talk about public banking. So we're both a debtors' assembly and a public banking forum because they are related. They do connect, and we're going to connect those dots Saturday and hope that you'll join us. Then we have Lane Thompson coming from CASA and Innovative Changes, and that's a local group that helps people restructure their debt, and Lane can meet with people who are having student debt issues, $25 an hour. You come out with a plan, and they have remarkable amount of resources that they can help people with on not just student debt, but all debt. I went to one of their meetings, and there was a woman there. She and her husband had student debt. They had six credit cards they were buying groceries for their three kids with, and he'd just lost his job. So the debt situation is serious. 70% of people in this country are in debt. 62% of all of the people filing bankruptcy are from medical debt. They may even have insurance, and they still lose everything they own at the same time they're fighting for their child's life for cancer. It's a cruel, cruel debt.
And we're about to have a debtors assembly here in Portland. I want to get back to you and ask you about that in just a moment. But I also want to talk about the alternative, community banking. And I want to ask David Delk, what would be the benefit of creating a state or city-owned bank?
Well, the main benefit is that you move control over your money from a national sphere to a local sphere, and you get to actually make decisions here locally as to how your money is going to be invested. And that money that currently goes to Wall Street and the too big to fail banks then remains in the local economy. And so with the community, the public bank then acts like a bank, and a bank is able to leverage the money, the deposits that it gets, tenfold, so that the effect is huge at the local level if you actually keep that money locally.
It really comes down to prosperity, doesn't it? And we're seeing a little bit of that. I mean, not the tenfold effect that we would see with community bank, but I think we're seeing a little bit of that just because of the accident of the fact that the federal government won't allow the national banks to take the marijuana money out of state. So it's been sort of accidentally recirculating. Mm-hmm. And maybe you've noticed people can get jobs in the last year or so. Yeah. That is just a taste of the sort of effect that that can be ours, the prosperity that can be ours if we actually take hold of finance instead of letting it devolve into the laissez-faire, you know, enrich themselves billionaire sort of paradigm that it's under right now.
Yeah. If I could take just a moment.
Yes.
I'd like to draw the difference between a community bank versus a public bank. Community banks are private institutions, and they have public benefit requirements, and they do really, really good work, but they're not the same thing as a public bank. A public bank takes the money that we already have in our, if it's at the city level, in our city government, and instead of depositing that money with Wall Street, deposits it into our own publicly owned city-owned bank.
Thank you for straightening that out. I was using community in the sense of community radio, which is what you're listening to, but public bank is the actual terminology, and that's that's what we're talking about here. Dr. Hartlip, do you have comments on the possibility of creating an Oregon bank, and can you tell me about the Bank of North Dakota?
Yeah, before I do that, I think a few facts that considerations and context should be made. One is, if folks that are listening go to collegedebt.com, they will see a current calculator. And student loans right now stand at close to $1.6 trillion. So a little context about that is the bank bailouts in 2008 for TARP monies. Most people think that, you know, that was a $700 billion payout, but it's still being paid out. And according to Forbes, they reported that the total commitment of the government is $16.8 trillion with $4.6 trillion already paid out. So thinking about debt, a debt jubilee, it is possible. And it is, you know, these banks are too big to jail. That you know, that gives the context of the $1.6 trillion debt, and so that's why in the book we're labeling it as a neoliberal agenda.
It's hard to imagine trillions of dollars. Yep. I mean, that's we're talking about vast economies. I mean, national scale and more than national scale economies, and it's staggering to think that $16 trillion is still being paid into the 07 collapse, as you say. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think it's a great question of the alternatives. So in the book, we take up examining alternatives to the problem. And I really, in my current work, I'm definitely a big supporter of community banks. I'm not an expert on that space, but I would say that thinking about the alternatives has led me to consider the debt problem in the United States. I mean, as a capitalist country, is a wicked problem. And it's a symptom of other problems. So the debt problem is related to all other forms of debt problems we have. And in the book, we've looked at alternatives such as there's a small group of colleges which are called work colleges. And work colleges, students can graduate with little to no debt, and they work, and that pays for their tuition and other fees. When you examine these work colleges, they're small, and their finances, what allows them to serve students, many of which are first generation poor students. And what allows them to do that is large endowments that fund it. So that's not conceivable. You know, that's not feasible for all colleges across the U.S. because endowments. But it is interesting how they serve disadvantaged students, and they can pay, you know, they don't have to graduate with large amounts of debt. So I think community banking, though, what it gets at and that we do address in the book is interest rates. Interest rates are just too high. They're just too damn high, and it leads to students that literally they might be making payments, but they make no progress. Really, their debt is ballooning, even though, despite the fact they're paying. So we have to reconsider the lending and the rate at which they're lent.
We have to do something, don't we?
Yeah, we can get home equity lines of credit if people are privileged to have a house in which they could use as collateral with low rates. But somehow a kid that goes to college has to pay like 8 or even higher, you know, 18%. It's just wrong.
It's I don't know where to say. It's cruel, basically, and it's there's a certain degree of insanity with it. And those numbers you're talking about, $1.6 trillion in student debt, kind of give it away. Trillions of dollars. I mean, it's hard enough to imagine billions of dollars, and trillions of dollars, of course, in U.S. usage, that's $1,000 billion, and a billion is $1,000 million, and a million's more than you've got. I'd like to turn to Reverend Decker again, and you intend to do something about it. You've got something coming up on May 5th.
Yes. The debtors' assemblies do intend to do something about it, and getting people together to listen to remarkable speakers like Dr. Hartlip and Ellen Brown and David Delk and Lane Thompson. That kind of cross-fertilization of information is worth millions, and we're asking for $5 to $20 at the door this Saturday at the First Unitarian Church. And we'll open the doors at 9:30. The speakers begin at 10. And at noon, we have a half-hour lunch, and lunch is included. vegetarian lunch. And in the afternoon, we break into small groups.
Lunch for $5 to $10. Hey, that's pretty good.
And great speakers. And the small groups, people are able to share their own stories. And if you get a chance to read Nicholas Hartlip's book, they share stories too. They believe in the power of sharing stories. And once people realize that it's not only them that have stumbled into this horrible debt situation, and other people realize the same thing, there is a collective ability to strike debt. And we come back together again and people share those stories and we make a plan for what we're going to do next.
I want to talk about why it's so important to attend this assembly and why it's such a good deal for $5 to $10. Morally, just speaking for myself, I cannot support the U.S. system of personal and student finance. When you take out a loan via a credit card or pay for schooling, you're actually creating money. The banks don't just plan on the repayment and the interest. They effectively turn your debt into a loan to themselves, and the collateral is your debt. Now, that's Ouroboros, mind-bending self-dealing, but you heard it right. Then they make 10 times that amount by speculating, literally offering your loan, even your car loan, as a debtor's gamble and collateralized debt obligations. And if that phrase sounds familiar, well, it had everything to do with the 07 collapse. So don't fret about the morality about whether you can afford to repay your student loan, car loan, credit card, whatever. It's outside that frame, frankly. You've been had. And that's my opinion, not the stance of strike debt specifically. But I've used the sort of information that you can find in their Debt Resistors Manual, which, by the way, you can get from the Portland Strike Debt website. I've used it to set myself right after a personal crisis a few years ago, and I'm proud to say that I backed off one of the vulture corporations, Equable Ascent. This is online. You can look it up, Teresa Mitchell versus Equable Ascent, to the tune of just under $10,000. Yes, thwarting their legal scheme to forced me to pay $500 up front for arbitration, snatched back $80,000 from Wells Fargo under a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, wiped out tens of thousands of dollars in credit card debt, and you can too. First, understand that U.S. finance is a game and a scam, and so don't even think about saddling yourself with guilt over this. Just get thee to a free bankruptcy attorney consultation, and I promise you'll come away feeling much, much better, even if you think you can't file for bankruptcy. You don't know. Just go to the free consultation. I've done this personally for friends, and the relief they have felt, and it really is, it really saddens me to think that so many people have killed themselves over the hopelessness that comes around debt. For gosh sakes, don't kill yourself. Get to a bankruptcy attorney. I see that Membership Central has come around, and it's time to talk about raising funds for KBOO now. I want to say about this, we've run out of time. We are literally under attack. This is very serious. Now, if some Nazi came by and threw a rock through the window, you'd all be up in arms. Something much worse has happened. We are under constant cyber attack right now. You may be able to get the website up, and you might not be able to get the website up. But I'm going to talk to John. Looks like John's ready to raise some funds here for KBOO. And hello, Membership Central.
Hello. Yeah, this is John and Ken, and we are here at Membership Central, and I want to tell you, first of all, about our prize drawing info. You can become a member right now and be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for 10 tickets to the Northwest Film Center and $25 to Tender Loving Empire. Call, I just love that, Tender Loving Empire. Call 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO to be entered for a chance to win. Go to KBOO.fm for rules and details on all the prizes.
And I want to mention, too, Teresa and John, that this is the last day of our spring member station. 80% of our operating budget each year comes from listeners like you. It's important to become a member. 877-500-5266. Also, as Teresa mentioned, the website was hacked. It's actually a continuous attack, and then we have a team here getting us back online. It's back online right now. You can donate there at kboo.fm. But it takes away very important funds over the past few days from our spring membership drive goals. So there's a stronger than ever sense of urgency today on the very last day of the spring membership drive for you to call up and become a member to fight attacks like this. We don't know where it's coming from, if it's just some mischievous hackers or if it's actually politically motivated or something like that. That's all speculation. Still, We're a scrappy little station, a community radio station. We bring you news you're not going to hear elsewhere. We bring you voices you're not going to hear elsewhere. So it's important to come up right now with that money, 877-500-5266. We have staff here, volunteers at the phones. We can guide you through. John, there's the T-shirt, Keep Portland Radical, as a gift.
Keep Portland Radical, and you can have that T-shirt for a gift of $75 or $6.25 per month. In fact, we have a goal right now before the end of this show, which is coming up in just about 6 or 7 minutes, of $750. So now is the time to get on the phone and give us a call at 877-500-5266 and support the news that you're not supposed to know. Teresa Mitchell and Press Watch, important topics every week, including right now about debt relief,
yeah.
Striking that debt. And so this is stuff you don't get. I mean, because the Debtors Central doesn't put this on the air. So now's the time to support KBOO by calling 877-500-KBOO.
Okay, thanks, y'all. We've got just about 3 minutes left to broadcast. So I'm going to go around. I'm going to have a little round, starting with Dr. Hartlip. Let's wrap it up and tell people what to expect with this upcoming Debtors Assembly. Are you there? Are you there, Doctor? Okay.
Yep. I think, well, Sandra hit it on the head, getting folks in the same room to talk through this issue that shouldn't be taboo. One thing that I'd like to say is hopefully what we accomplish is talking about the language in which we use to do this work. In the book, we talk about that we need a new lexicon to talk about these problems, because we unfortunately actually utilize neoliberal language. I mean, think for instance when we talk about student loan debt, it's the second form of consumer, and I use air quotes, debt behind mortgages. And so when we view education as consumption, that plays into this idea that you pay to play. You attend college to access knowledge, and then you get a piece of paper, a credential, a degree. And actually, lifelong learning is more than that. So thinking about the language we use in higher education. Hopefully we can get together and talk about the language and find alternatives and solutions. No one should have to graduate and be indebted for the rest of their lives.
Amen to that. Dr. Nicholas Hartlip, thank you so much. Dr. Nicholas Hartlip now is going to be speaking on student debt. His editorial team just won a National Book Award. I'm reading from the local website for Strike Debt, Portland Strike Debt. Just won a National Book Award for the Neoliberal Agenda and Student Debt Crisis in Higher Education. He is Assistant Professor of Urban Education at Metropolitan State University in St. Paul, Minnesota. And Dr. Hartlip, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to go to David. What's on your mind as we wrap this up?
Well, we actually have Ellen Brand, who we didn't really say who she was. She is the founder of the Public Bank Institute, National Advocacy Group for Public Banking. And she also wrote the two primary books talking about public banking, The Web of Debt and The Public Bank Solution. So she is going to be at the Debtors Assembly. But on Friday, tomorrow evening, she will be at the First Unitarian Church doing a public event, which everyone is invited to, and that starts at 7 o'clock, Southwest 12th and Salmon. So if you're interested in how public banking can benefit us, this is the event
to come to. This is the place to be. All right, and then you get the last word, Reverend Sandra Decker.
Well, the last thing I want to say about the Debtors Assembly this Saturday, doors open at 9:30 at First Unitarian Church, and Roberta Badger-Kane will be leading a small group on parent and grandparent debt. This doesn't get talked about in the mainstream media either. The feds are actually taking money out of people's Social Security checks because those parents and grandparents had to sign on for their sons and daughters and grandsons and daughters to be able to get a loan. And now the sons and daughters feel guilty because they can't help their parents and grandparents retire like that used to happen. They're actually still living at home and feel a burden on their family because they can't get a debt and can't get a job and pay off that debt. So if you have debtors, grandparent and parent debt, be sure to come on Saturday, and Roberta Badger-Kane will be your angel.
Well, I'd like to thank you all for joining me. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. We're going out to you via KBOO.FM as best we can, even as we're being hacked. And I want to say that this is going down. Do you remember Acorn? I do. Acorn's gone. Why? Because we snoozed and we let the right wing take it down. This is being attempted right now with KBOO Community Radio. I want you to make a choice. What side are you going to be on? Are you just going to ride the boat and let KBOO disappear? Or are you going to fight back? 877-500-5266. It has to be you. It has to be now. 877-500-5266. Going out to you via 90.7 FM and other frequencies in Cascadia, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Citizens gather in celebration of Jedi, rebels, and the power of the Force. They wear costumes, have parties, and share greetings and pictures on their social networks. They say it's fun, but what aren't they telling you about May the 4th? They say that the rebels are heroes, looking to restore freedom to the galaxy. Fact, the Jedi and rebels are traitors to the Empire, and so are all those who celebrate May the 4th.
No, no, no. Tune in Thursday night, right before midnight, for a very special Star Wars celebration. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th is a dangerous and immoral holiday. This year, say yes to the Empire. Say no to Jedi. Say no to rebels. And say no to May the 4th. Paid for by the Emperor's Committee to Destroy May the 4th.